Welcome to the Starfound Podcast, an actual play podcast of the tabletop role-playing game Starfinder by the lovely people at Paizo. Now, some of you may know Starfinder and its cousin D&D and may know exactly what I'm talking about. And some of you may be totally in the dark. Don't worry, I'm here to fill you in. A tabletop role-playing game mixes the boundaries between long-form improvisation and board games, and what this means is that a group of friends sit around a table and collaboratively tell a story, the outcome of which is decided by rolls on a 20-sided die that's modified by the character's abilities and skills. Now, several of these friends are the players, and they have made characters that are the heroes of the story. Meanwhile, one friend takes on the role of the Game Master, who is sort of the arbiter of the game. They play, but they are also directing the action, you might say. So as the game plays out, if a player wants their character to shoot a laser blaster to hit the target of their bounty in the knee, there are mechanics for that. Or if the heroes need to get into a factory that's producing an army of war robots, they might choose to disguise themselves, or they might try to talk their way in, or they might have some other way of doing it, and we talk it out together. We are recording this second season of Starfound live on twitch.tv/HearthsingerGames every Thursday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. So go give us a follow right now. The first season is available on iTunes, Spotify, and SoundCloud now, as well as on our YouTube page, so go get caught up. Give us follows, likes, and where you can, write positive or constructive comments. It really helps to get our podcast into the hands of more listeners. New episodes will be released every Wednesday evening, but if you just can't wait that long, head over to patreon.com/starfoundpod and consider pledging at least $5 to get access to the video a whole week earlier, as well as some other sweet patron-only rewards, including private streams and polls that affect the story of the podcast. We have something new happening on patreon.com/starfoundpod. For our $10 and up crewman patrons, we have started creating patron characters with them that live and exist inside the world, and once a month, they get to choose an action that their characters do, and then we resolve it with a dice roll at the end of the month. Now, I'm not entirely certain how this is going to play out, because it's based on what our patrons decide to do with their newfound power, but I'm hoping that the characters that they create and the actions that they take will feature in to the story of Starfound. This is just another way for you, as our listener, to interact with the story and the world that we are creating. Now let's meet some of these mooks, our mostly fearless Starfinders.
I'm Anne Richmond, and I play Amaruk Yuka, Vlaka Solarian, First Claw of Clan Yuka, and Emotional Support Captain for the crew of the Kingfisher.
I'm Helena Anderson, and I play Jaleskia, a very clumsy Kasathan mystic zoologist, and I believe in the pursuit of knowledge and friendship. Friendship is good, too.
Hi, my name is Parker Wallace, and I play Castor 9, android mechanic and pilot of the Kingfisher. Happy to be of service.
Hi, I'm Dexter Warren, and I play Jabberwocky, a Skittermander Technomancer. I'm a magical boy tech whiz with a love of stories and shiny.
Now sit back, strap in, or at least hold on to something. Let's get Starfound. Last time on Starfound, the crew headed back to the City of the Giants. Well, they were guided back in bags by the Giants. They arrived, had a conversation about planning, learned something about the history of Sky and about the cataclysmic history of this world, and potentially all the worlds that they have settled and seen so far. And then Amaruk asked the question about whether or not her crew approved of some of her actions, specifically not responding to a distress call, and got an answer that she was not happy with, but possibly expecting. Kia,
huffed off in a rage precisely because she liked that they abandoned the people in need. And that freaked out Amaruk a little bit, and Castor, for maybe the first time, said exactly how he felt. So Kia, you've gone off looking for a giant bar.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. She's gonna just kind of like very carefully step around the streets, just trying to find like a place where people are gonna be singing and drinking. That's all she wants. She needs to find that. It's like that scene in Ella Enchanted.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's what she wants.
So the day around the fields and in this place seems to be kind of winding down, right? You find yourself wondering how nighttime works in a place that has a sun in the middle of it. And you're wondering how people get privacy when you hear the sound of singing. Or at least you think it's singing. These giants sing in this swaying whale song that kind of oscillates back and forth along frequencies. It goes so deep that you can feel it in the ground underneath you, and then swings up so high that it crests the top of your hearing, as words that you will probably never be able to fully understand wash over you. And you follow the sound, right? Around corners, around the gigantic feet of people stepping along their daily tasks. And there are quite a few giants, but you start to realize that all of them are fairly old as well, right? You, for the first time, realize, wandering through this village, city, whatever it may be, that there are no children. Dex and Castor just had a moment in silence.
Don't have the baby machines. They can't reproduce until they got them back. They're old and ancient creatures, and that's why they needed it. That's the goldfish revelation.
I didn't even pick that up until you said.
Oh my god.
Sorry, it took me like literally the amount of time it takes Amaruk to realize anything to like really put that together. That's amazing. Yeah.
You just looked at me, you're like, bitch, and I was like, bitch.
So back at the camp, Jabby like wakes up and starts screaming, but we're off with Kia right now. and you follow this sound. And eventually you come around the corner to find a long string of these people who are tossing hay bales of the cut flowers up into a cart. And they sing as they work, the consonants marking the different actions that they take as they go through this repetitive action of tossing hay bales one by one by one. Yeah, actions, questions, concern.
I think she's going to try to get one of their attention. So maybe she's going to try to like climb up on like a nearby crate or something so that she has a little better vantage point, I suppose, and tries to wave down one of the giants.
Great. So you clamber up on top of a wooden crate, and from this higher vantage point, you can see that on the far side of the field, there's like a forest. Green and like evergreen and ancient, tall trees that scrape the top of this cavern. But you wave your hands and scream as loud as you can. What are you saying?
You can't understand me, but hello,
All four arms just like flailing. Amazing. But this time on purpose.
Great. So you interrupt the work for one of them, an especially old-looking person who's taken a step out from the line of work to stretch his back, and you catch his eye, and he looks over at you. His eyes widen, and then he makes a connection in his mind and kind of, like, excuses himself from the other workers who, like, roll their eyes and makes his way over to you slowly. And peers down at you.
She gets a little nervous, naturally. And she goes, shrug, and then sign for beverage.
The universal sign of beverage, yes. The old man kind of, like, snorts a little bit and stands up and stretches his neck back and forth and nods knowingly at you. And taps the edge of the crate, which obviously sends your world shaking and you, like, almost fall off the edge. But he's already turned around and headed back, like, motioning for you behind him to stay where you are. And so you watch them continue to throw these barrels, these bushels of hay up onto. And the hay, because it has, it's made of these dried flowers, right? Has these little red and gold streaks through it. Amaruk, where are you heading?
She just moves out kind of towards the poppy field to sit in this twilight sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she feels like it's too hot. Everything is too hot when you're not on a snowy planet that's dying, it turns out. And so in an effort to get more perspective, she unfolds her wings and takes off into the sky.
Beautiful.
And begins soaring and weaving between the spires of these tall buildings,
mm-hmm.
and trying to think about how it's all going to maybe be okay, hopefully, one day.
Beautiful. Multicolored birds fly, darting in your airstream back and forth. They've never seen you, but they also show no fear at all. The few large reptilian birds, or I guess they're more like dinosaur creatures. I'm not sure what to call that. What's a flying reptile called?
Pteranodon?
That's amazing that you had
it. A pterosaur. A scaly flapper.
Scientific terms only on Starfound. So these other scaly flappers that are larger than you by far, kind of like eyeball you as they soar around back and forth, occasionally darting down to pluck up voles that are about the size of you, but they don't see you as prey. One of them gets a little bit too close and you make a jolting movement and it kind of flies away, wary of wounding.
She like catches sight, hopefully, unless you don't want this to happen, Kia, in which case, totally fair, of where you are eventually with, like, the giants.
Yeah.
And she, because I know you hate it, but she doesn't. Three-point landings near you.
on the ground next to you.
Always scares me. Yeah. Casually. Yeah.
Jump, eye roll.
You can hear the eyes. That's how I'm rolling in my head.
And she says, hey.
Hey yourself! And Kia points to the hay bales. Very proud of herself.
All right. I'm gonna stop you there for a moment.
Yeah, go for it.
So, Caster, you're awake, right? Did you say yes?
Yes, sorry.
Good.
I'm closer now to the mic.
Great. Get in there. You're sitting and reading The Warrior and the Wumpus. I'm having an internal conflict right now what I'm going to do and what I'm going to expose.
Expose.
Do it, Jabby.
I give my consent.
You give your consent? You're going to have to guide me because it's been a long time since we've talked about this.
Yeah.
And I need Caster to roll a computer's check.
Okay.
Against Jabby, you've already rolled this for me.
I have?
No, you haven't? Okay. Good. Then
I don't know.
Why don't you roll it right now?
Oh my God.
All right.
Oh my God. My hands are so sweaty right now.
I know. I'm very sweaty.
That is a total of 38.
You lucky gun. That was a 35.
Welcome to Starfinder, where the DC is now 38.
Who
it's harder to fight yourselves than opponents, I'm just saying.
Yes, truly.
Oh,
truly
God. Is. Oh, no.
I'm 0-2 now.
So you're reading, right? And Jabby, you can tell me if this is not correct. But you're reading, and you start to realize that there's, actually a little code in here. Right? That, the words are set up to the point that every single first and third letter, and for sometimes the fifth letter, all make up a numerical code, right? Which therefore correlates back into, an obscure, very old QR code that's that the cover is made of, right? That, unlocks a series of encryptions inside of that, and there's something going on inside of the warrior and the Wumpus, but wow, is it deep, and maybe this is why Jabby loves it so much. And then you glance over to the side, and there are three rings sketched out in the ground.
Three rings sketched out on the ground?
Yeah, three intersecting rings. The symbol of the triune is scratched into the ground. And as you blink, it's like seeing Jesus in toast, right? You look a little bit closer and you see that there's a beetle that's kind of trailing away, dragging its thorax in the ground that has made these three. I said the word thorax, and it's just
I know
a thorax.
What you said.
Thick thorax.
You could have been trailing a piece of bread from the picnic, trailing a piece of cheese or a blade of grass, and you're trailing a thorax. I know you, bitch.
Thick thorax. Oh
God. So it's trailing its thorax where it looks like it's carved out three rings.
Smart bug.
Huh. You don't say that every day. I'm gonna inspect that beetle. What inspired this beetle to make the triune symbol?
But let me get a closer look at that beetle.
Let me look at that beetle. Ah, let me look at that beetle. Ah.
Somebody sample that.
How
and
thick
send
is
it back
that thorax? We all want to know.
She thick.
Great. Why don't you make me a natural science check?
Oh, wow. My favorite. Let me see. Nope, that's a different character. Bada bing, bada boom.
You do have a few. You do. Yeah.
All right. Is it natural science, life science?
Dex is... whisper game this episode.
It's so good.
So good.
He doesn't normally have someone next to him. Yeah.
See, this mic is good. It's a good mic.
It's butter.
All right, life science?
Yes, please. Okay.
For the love of God.
Okay, so it's not a lot, but it's 11.
It's all right. Sorry.
Yes, it is.
I It's like the full time pulling the generator. It's an all right beetle. Yeah. It's has like a slight shimmer magpie feather on its two wings. One of its wings appears to have been torn off. You can see a little bit of dried beetle blood glistening blue next to it, next to the wound. But it's just, it appears to be just walking now. But it's making good pace, right? Making solid pace towards the poppies.
I'll follow it to the poppies.
Right. You head into the poppy fields, kind of like slowly following this beetle, who clambers up over the grass and stumbles forward, unable to fly, which it would usually do, excuse me. And soon you see that it carves yet another three circles. And as you look, you see that there's another one that's carving three circles on the ground as well. And another one, and another one. Some of them have wings, and they buzz away when they finish their task. And as you look more and more careful, you see three circles eaten out of the leaves of poppies, and three circles carved into the ground, and little holes dug of three circles with eggs in them. The more and harder that you look, this pattern repeats itself over and over and over again.
I'm going to use my expert rig and record all this happening.
Fantastic.
For evidence.
Fantastic.
And I imagine that being like both of his heterochromic? His heterochromic or hemochromatic?
Heterochromatic.
Ooh, chromatic.
Yeah. The two That's different cool. colored eyes that Caster just happens to have become TV static and records Ooh. This entire thing.
Yes, remember it.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Anyways, cool. So you keep recording. Meanwhile, back at the hay bale throwing part of town, Amaruk and Kia, I mean, I feel like we need to continue that conversation. I can't jump in the middle. Go for it.
I believe Kia then said, "Hey, yourself!"
That's where
right
we
before Miles said, and moving along and changed.
Cool, cool, cool. She kind of like shakes off her giant, you know, wings and like folds them behind her. And sort of rocks up and looks at the hay bales and the sort of like general teamsmanship of this particular group of giants who's all clearly on the same page with each other about what they're doing and what they need from life.
What a concept.
Right? What a concept. And she says, Kia.
Yeah.
You get tired of people, right?
Yeah, I fucking hate people.
Cool, cool. So, I think I'm mad.
Yeah? Yes, you are. Tell me about it.
It's just so stupid. She kind of like growls a little bit after she's been given permission to like be selfish in this moment. And she's like, you know, people create these goalposts for you in their head.
Yeah.
But they don't ever like express that they like were holding you to a certain like
Yes. Thing. Oh my God.
Like,
yeah.
You know what? You and I don't agree all the time, and I'm kind of okay with it because at least you tell me what you think.
Yeah, no, I if anything, I'm brutally honest. I've been told it can It's not the best all the time. But hey, listen, you're allowed to be mad. You have a lot of stuff on your plate. And I am always advocating for you to be selfish. And it sounds like you haven't listened to me until today because you deserve to feast.
Here's another thing. And she says, does no one remember? remember that he is trying to, like, kill me? That this asshole Elo Ketch, I bet he was made with a different, and I bet they were made with a different name. It's probably their stage name because it looks good on contracts. Whatever, I don't care. Yeah, so she's just like, it's clearly unlocked something that yeah. has been repressed for a long time.
So as and you're Gina like is... screaming at Kia, suddenly you yeah. feel a shadow pass over you, and this this old giant is standing over you, and he like puts forward a little basket.
For us? For oh.
You know what? Let's just do it. And she jumps into the basket.
Great. So you guys hop in the basket, and like you can't see over the edges. You can just see up to the like jowls of this older creature swinging back mm-hmm. and forth gently, right? He's in shape. Right? But just like time has worn away and he started to just slack a little bit, right? And you can see the yeah. weathered wrinkles in his skin, which to you are creaks. If you poured water down his face, you could probably take a bath in one of them, right? They're so large. I'm just scaring. Like, it's just it. Terrifying and also disgusting and also... kind of beautiful. Yeah. And eventually he heads inside. He places you down on the floor and you all clamber out to see that he's gone over to this massive distiller in the corner. And he takes yeah. a whole pile, like a gigantic jar of of the poppies.
Right.
Cut close to the head out of his pocket, uncorks it, and pours it into the top, continuing this process. Kind of smiles right. over at all of you.
Yeah. And she, her eyes just get really big, and she goes, well, is this what being irresponsible feels like?
No, it's what having fun feels like.
Hold on. Has Amaruk never in her entire fucking life been irresponsible?
She was a couple games
You're
ago
not
with
I the viewer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A certain other wolf.
I mean, she to your question on the wind, she just like when Kia says, have you never had fun before? She says, well, yeah, organized fun with the group.
Yeah, I hate to say this, but next time you have the chance to take a vacation, you gotta take it.
Oh no, that sunk in deep to Anne. That moved right by. Bypassed Amaruk and went directly into my heart. Whoops. Okay, so she kind of like... blank screens for a second.
And as you do,
yeah,
a small, well, large for you, but thimble like some kind of device that you couldn't ken the response of, but it's made of scrap metal, descends and plops down in front of you, and the overwhelming smell of fresh alcohol washes over you. And this giant kind of looks down at you knowingly. His own shot glass, his own, like, tin mug in hand, right? Yeah. And kind of, like, does a...
Cheers.
Rather than a cheers, he covers the top.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, sips out of just the corner between his thumb and his palm, right? This
Love
tiny
that.
Little... Like a careful take to Dex's face.
I tried. Ew, and then I was like, oh wait, no, that's kind of charming.
Yeah.
Is he just trying to drink the same amount we are?
I don't know, but I'm just gonna go for it because it's my life and it's now or never. And she drinks. Because she's like, you know that song. By yeah, that half elf guy.
Oh my god. All right.
Elfin John.
John Elfie.
Billy Knoll.
Oh, no. Billy Knoll! Yes!
God!
It's not an elf. It's a Knoll, and his name is Billy Knoll.
Yeah.
It's canon. I'm writing that down on my notes.
Billy Knoll. I'm writing it down on two lines. That's how important it is.
Okay. Sometimes we have way too much fun. And I like really lose the complete, lose the thread of the game.
So we drank the drugs. Well, I drank my drugs or whatever they are. I don't know. Going out on a limb here.
Great. It's definitely, it's like flower moonshine.
Wow.
And there's a certain spiciness to it, and you realize actually looking a little bit closer that little flecks of the pollen has been dripped in, right? So it has this, and that kind of dissolves inside of it, acting like a sugar, right? And also makes it like bubble slightly and burble as you take the drink.
This is going to be so good for us. We're not going to have any allergies here once it comes to allergy season.
Are we staying here? How long is allergy season? But she drinks it.
Fantastic. Great. Anything else from you guys?
Yeah. Once they settle, mm-hmm. she just says, "Do you think?" No, that'd be crazy.
I do think a lot.
Stop! No focus. She's there, like clearly a little bit in their cups by the time they get to this part of the situation. She goes, "You heard that dragon, right? He said I'll keep your secrets."
Yeah, for Jabby. Yo, he's gotta have some weird ass shit for a dragon to say that.
I guess. Realizing that Caster like hates me suddenly, maybe not suddenly, maybe it's been happening for a long time. I'm not going to think about it too much because I'm still a little mad, even though, you know, other people's feelings are important and whatnot. But it just made me think, if I didn't know that, if that went that far that long over this amount of time, what kind of secrets do you think Jabby has?
Oh, I have no idea. The thing is, when I picture him, I just picture him in front of a computer. So I have no idea. And like, or in front of a screen of some sort, like our movie nights are one of my favorite things. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. He's always got snacks and I can't imagine him doing anything that bad. It must be some weird, like, kink stuff.
You were with him when he was, like, running Brightclaw when I got my surgeries, though, right?
Yeah. It's fine.
The most suspicious face. White looking hella sus right now, or excuse me, blue looking hella sus right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I should not have vented there.
Yeah, she just goes, "Huh. No, that's crazy.
What are you thinking? Was there anything else that made him seem hella sus other than the fact that dragon Javier said that stuff?
Well, I would not think that any of you would be sus with me, but now I'm not so sure," she says, kind of like scandalized by the entire experience. Yeah. She's like, "I don't hide things from you guys."
No, and that's great. You know what?
If anything, I'm an oversharer.
Amaruk, I'm gonna give you homework. All right. Okay. I'm gonna give you two homeworks, and you have 3 months to fulfill these assignments. And if you're not, I'm not going to invite you to my birthday party. And so the first
that's so
one,
mean.
I know. So do them. The first one is you need to take a vacation. That's the first one. You have 3 months. We'll figure it out. Number two, you need a secret. I need you to go out and find a secret. And you're
I
not
have
tell-
one, Key. I already have one.
Oh, well, you just said you didn't.
Oh, I forgot, but now I remember that I have one.
Oh, okay. Well, then hold it. Don't tell me.
Oh no. Okay.
You want to? You can.
I do. I really want to tell you, but I won't. It's nothing bad.
Okay. Wait, what? What? Now I want to know.
Now I can't tell you because you won't invite me to your birthday party.
I will invite you to my birthday party. I will. I promise. I'm sorry. Maybe get a different secret because this one sounds fun.
I totally slept with Chomo in your lab.
Well, I really hope you didn't mess up any of my samples. But good
I
for
don't
you.
Think we did.
Actually, you rolled a awesome. Natural 20, I think, on that.
Yeah,
on
you
that,
know that something happened.
Oh, wait, I did know. Oh, yeah, I did know. I forgot about that.
Roll it back.
Well, I hope you didn't mess up any of my samples. Wink, wink.
Oh my god, this is so dumb. What is this RP? Okay, so she goes, oh no, did I?
I bet it was fine. I bet it was fine. I mean, the table looked fine.
It even. Was more but than it was fine. It was like, I felt so seen, and I just haven't been seen by somebody in so long. Not, you know, on an equal footing, especially by Vlaka. I don't know.
I do not envy your position of power. I would never want to be in your shoes. That's not a very helpful thing to say. I'm realizing this now. But listen, I need you to go get another secret. It doesn't have to be sleeping with another Vlaka friend, though. I don't know. That Goruk guy seems pretty interesting. That could be a fun story.
What? No. No. What? No. What?
Insight no. check. Insight check. I mean, sense motive check, little bitch.
It's motive.
You're Kia, not little bitch. Drunk. I'm so sorry.
Oh, damn it. You're Kia, not
so
little bitch.
I have to explain this. We've done it once before, but it's worth re-explaining.
Yes.
Helena's Zoom name is always little bitch.
Little bitch.
Yeah.
And sometimes I slip. I'm sorry. I hope you all can understand.
Yeah. It's that's what I ask for.
Yeah. Just to be very clear. Yeah, it's not.
Sorry, should I change it to Empress?
No. What was your sense motive total?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were saying I should, but I will. Shit. That's not great at all. It's an 11.
Great.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll
Anne
roll
can even something,
lose against
but I
that.
I don't think I can lose against 11. Wait, maybe I can though, because it is deception.
Bluff.
What I'm saying is, so there's a chance. Bluff. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I only have a +6, so let's see.
What'd you get?
A 1!
What were you saying?
Deception.
A 7 total.
So about the way that you played it. That's what happened. No. Yeah. What do you mean?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. No, I'm just saying. I'm just putting it out there. Like, if Brightclaw had a space Tinder, we should get a Tinder set up for Brightclaw.
I think it's just because he's like... He's like the opposite of everything I like. He's like, I'm like life and living and heat. And he's like gravity. She just flatlines into the middle distance and then just drinks of her chalice.
Just slurps.
Yeah. She thirsty.
Well, you know what? Maybe there's a fun secret to be had there. But those are my two tasks for you. Pretend I'm a teacher. I would be a really shitty teacher.
No, you're great. This is good. I have a lot to think about.
Great.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
But I can still come to your birthday though, right?
Oh, Oh, yeah. No, certainly. Okay. That was just a threat.
I'll just pretend like I can't, Professor.
Great.
All right. So back out to Caster. What are you doing?
Just watching these beetles go, mm-hmm. I think. Watch them go. Like, I don't know if I can explain it. I mean, unless I keep observing. Mm-hmm. So they're making the three intersecting circles, which mm-hmm. is the symbol of Triune. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're not like robotic beetles, are they? Mm-hmm. They're not cybernetic or anything?
No.
No. Interesting. Hmm. Oh. All right, let me see what I got. Well, I'll just keep filming them with my TV eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just wondering if you have any questions, any actions, anything.
Oh, yeah. Like, are there more, like, coming in as if the number of beetles is increasing?
No.
Okay, so it's just beetles that are already there. Mm-hmm. Doing their thing.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
It seems to have been happening for a while.
Huh.
Caster is just blown away.
I'm just baffled by these beetles.
Beetle baffled.
Baby's just baffled by the beetles.
Oh boy.
By the beetles. I guess I'll just go back to camp, I guess, if nothing is changing. They're just doing their thing.
Great. Fantastic. Great. You head back. What do you do when you're back?
I'll read more of The Warrior and the Wumpus while I'm tuning my expert rig.
Right. Fantastic. You just reading?
Yeah. I think I'm, like, multitasking, like, trying to like use fine tools on my custom rig all the while like looking at a word and then looking at my custom rig and then looking at a word and looking at my custom rig.
So just reading or reading?
Oh, I'll keep reading. Like dedicated reading.
Dedicated reading. Fantastic. All right. Why don't you roll me another computers check for fun and for free? Not for fun and for free. It'd be really important.
That's a 30.
Nice. So you haven't cracked the code yet, right? Excuse me. But it keeps on surprising you because it keeps on going deeper and deeper and deeper. And then to boot, there's a couple of layers that are like hidden inside of various like net points in the internet, and they keep changing their encryption. So something is being managed that relates back to Warrior and the Wumpus. Or maybe you're doing the code backwards and the Warrior and the Wumpus is the cipher. You're not entirely sure, right?
Yeah. Would I be able to access the digital rabbit hole that leads me down to?
That's what you're trying to do, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no dice so far.
Okay.
Before finally sleep starts to overtake you. Mm-hmm. Anyone... anything else? Yeah, Jabby.
Jabby has a recurring nightmare.
Oh boy.
After handing Caster the Warrior and the Wumpus, he is in a jungle and he's running alongside a Vesk kid and they're heading further into the jungle than they normally do. And they're going after a new piece of scrap that has just come from a recent crash nearby. And they both know this area is dangerous because of all the Stridermanders around. Because Skittermanders and Stridermanders both evolved from the same creature. Skittermanders are the cute and cuddly ones. Stridermanders are the 6 foot something tall, scary ones that retain their umbilical cord mouth. Skittermanders as whelplings have an extra mouth on a tentacle that comes out of their tummy.
An umbilical
mouth. But Stridermanders maintain theirs and kind of run around as like centaur, scary wolf people. And they hunt Skittermanders and eat them and the like. But this is a really good piece of scrap, and they know they're not supposed to cross the ravine, but they do anyway because they're reckless, stupid kids. And they go and they get the shiniest piece of scrap that's the most useful for the project they're working on. And they pause as they see one come by. Mm. They thought they were clear. And Jabby shifts back and knocks over a piece of metal. And suddenly they're both running, going across the ravine and using the Skittermander racial ability, hyper, taking an extra move to go even faster, but the Stridermander's keeping pace and closing the distance. So they take advantage of their smaller size and they climb up a tree higher and higher, and Jabby's in the lead, followed by his friend. And they can feel the tree start to shake as it catches up to them and tries to shake it and begins to climb itself, all of its hands and legs climbing up after them, and they're running out of room. And his friend, the better climber, he shouts out that the branches are getting too thin. They have to jump trees, and Jabby doesn't listen. And he keeps climbing higher and higher until the next branch he puts his foot on is too thin to hold even his small body. And suddenly he just feels air rushing past him and he's tumbling, and he reaches out hands, and Throxer's hand just barely brushed past as he's falling towards the gaping maw of this creature, and he gives up. And suddenly he feels arms wrap around him and a shoulder go right into the face of this creature as they're all tumbling, and they land on top of the Stridermander and they run away. And then the dream loops and it begins again. Ooh, only this time.
That's how it usually goes.
Yeah.
Except this time, as you fall and land, you get up to run away. Throxer continues on like nothing has changed, but in front of you stands a gigantic shifting form of shadow with two blazing white suns for eyes, this black cutout hole in the world staring down at you. And it says in a voice that is somewhere between static and nails scraping on a, I want to say keyboard, but that's not the right word, on a chalkboard.
Across the screen? Yeah.
Nails scraping on a chalkboard. I see you. I'm watching you. Give up. Give up. Give up and sleep. And as it speaks, the darkness, the hole in the world, opens up around you and wraps around you, and you find yourself suffocating for air, just desperately trying to breathe in this empty void before you find yourself gasping awake as Castor is like shaking you because you've been screaming and screaming and screaming endlessly.
Jabby, you okay?
What? What happened?
I think you're having a nightmare there. Or night terror.
Oh, I usually sleep, I sleep really soundly, generally.
And as you're lying to your friend, the scream starts to spread like it's contagious. And now the moaning, roaring bellow of giants echoes out from the different windows and the buildings around you as the dimmed light around you is filled with the howl of an entire city trapped in a night terror.
I think we've just been through a lot today. And I think it just snuck up on me is all. And I think actually we have a lot of data to go over, so I should probably I could actually use your help in reviewing whatever we have. We need to make plans for tomorrow.
You're having to scream over the sound to Castor.
Do you hear that?
Yeah, I hear it. It's pretty prominent right now.
Is it in my head or is that a, is just Castor, nope. Is that's everywhere?
Yeah.
Okay.
Suddenly the light that has grown dark from the sun in the middle of this cavern flashes once and twice and three times and silence falls over the city. Amaruk, Kia, you had fallen asleep in your cups.
We snuggled.
Yeah, we had a snuggle.
On top of each other on like kind of a wooden, long wooden bench, right? And you both awake to each other screaming, look at each other in the eyes, still like reciting this nameless terror of a dream that you cannot remember but sticks in your gut like a knife.
Yeah. And we can't stop screaming?
You don't stop screaming when you wake up because the fear is so real. But after a moment of awareness and consciousness, you realize that you're still screaming and probably stop. I mean, I can't speak for you.
But we didn't see anything that we remember.
You remember.
Yeah. Okay. She's. Go ahead.
Oh, is the giant man still there with us?
Screaming.
Screaming still.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm very afraid to wake him up.
Is he asleep?
Yeah.
Okay. Amaruk, should we wake him up?
That's very dangerous. You know, you don't wake a sleeping giant. You're supposed to let them lie there.
Yeah, but he's screaming.
Okay, but we were screaming and then we stopped.
Okay, it's loud. Why is everyone?
She just goes, wake up, like from across the room.
He like scrabbles back and forth and pieces of the distillery like fly off as he smacks them off, crashing into the side of the wall, sending chips the size of you of adobe flying across the room.
Yeah.
Before he sits up gasping, and then realizes that he's twisted his back. Like kind of eases his way back onto lying on his back, breathing heavily in this gale force gasps.
She looks at Kia and she's like, we need Jabby and Castor. What if something happened to them?
Yeah, no, we should go find them immediately.
Yeah. She turns around and like sort of like heads to the door and like unrustles her wings, and she says, "Do you want to hop on?"
Yes, just give me a second. Sorry. Oh my God, I'm sorry. Is this fine? Is this fine, or is this good
it's
for you?
Good. It's let's go.
Okay.
She takes off with one giant beat of her wings rocketing into the sky and back towards the corner of the square with the giant plate.
Fantastic. So
GM question.
Shoot.
I haven't gotten a long rest, have I?
Yeah, you have.
I have?
Yeah.
Okay.
You guys rested for a total of 8 hours, including your fruit time. Arguing is included in the restful activities.
So restful.
What he's saying
is, kind and benevolent DM.
Exactly. It's like very restful because it was so true. So she lands and she says, "What's going on?" She sort of like looks at the bright flashes from the, I want to say the companion or whatever this sun is.
Not a little bit.
Feels vaguely companion-y. And she sort of like flinches in the light a little bit and says, did you wake up screaming too?
Yeah, it seems like a lot of people are waking up screaming right now.
What do we do? What do we do?
We should probably find the lead giant lady and be wary of enemies.
She said she was going to commune, right? And so she goes like kind of scampering off. She like grabs her stuff and goes scampering off in the direction of the temple that she walked into.
Oh, yeah, wait for me.
And then full on Roadrunner style, yeah. Dust and Kia.
Amazing.
Yeah. Jabby takes a second to check to see if he's still falling and realizes he's not, and takes a shaky running step forward that may be noticeable. I don't know.
Would Castor have time for a... Hold on a second. I'm going to turn on the volume on my end. Does Castor have time to check the glass monolith with the sun inside, see what's wrong with it?
Nothing appears to be wrong with it.
Great. I'm going to rejoin with the party then.
Right. Fantastic. So you rush forward, all of you just like barreling through the long pathways and wide pathways towards this large. There's a lot of things that I call monolith in this season, but this is less of a monolith and much more of a monument. Somewhere between monument and it also reminds you in strange ways of like scientific containment center, right? Like it's the kind of thing that you would carefully examine a virus inside of, right? There's glass, not just glass, some kind of massively powerful and thick containment see-through glass, the inside of which this sun sits, and then there's a technological structure that sits underneath it, right? That seems to have elements that might control temperature, that might control light, that might control a million different things below it. And then stairs that lead up almost ornamentally all the way up. Some of them have broken and have been repaired with stone and adobe. Some of them have lasted the test of time. And so you find yourself at the bottom of these stairs that were not meant for creatures of your size and begin to clamber up them, making your way higher and higher and higher, breath becoming short as you get further and further up, steam rushing out of various different valves, intake, sucking in air, the subtle ticking of hard drives and other cooling mechanisms kind of buzzing all around you as you make your way up until finally you stand at the top of this almost an altar. And in front of you, the sun glows and you see Amy, whose hand is pressed against the glass, eyes closed. And as you approach her, she removes her hand and kind of stumbles back and forth for a second and then turns to all of you. And as her eyes open, you can see that they glow for a moment and then the glow recedes.
Comprehend languages.
We out here.
And she says, it's further along than we thought.
Further along.
What does she mean further along?
I'm not sure.
It's plan. Whatever it's trying to do, it's much, much more powerful than even we fear. The fallen angel. The sleeper. Everyone's more, face is just...
Yeah.
Sorry,
I thought you were about
like,
to continue.
Yeah, it seemed yeah. like you were continuing.
I'm not mad about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all that she says. Her voice kind of trailing away and the worry palpably rolling yeah. off of her as bright as the light that leaves her silhouetted.
She says, well, we... I don't know how to express this. Jebby, we have to tell her we need something that we can do.
Planning, the word for planning.
Okay. Yeah.
Planning now.
Great.
Fallen angel strong.
It like snaps her out of her reverie, yeah. right? And she like kind of unaware that she shakes her head, right?
Yeah.
Looks up at all of you and says, yes, yes.
Oh God, I recognize this woman's existence right now.
I guess it's morning now. And yes, we should plan. God,
yes.
Let's call it... We don't have a word for it. She motions backwards at the light
fallen
inside.
Angel.
No. Let's call it hope. Hope doesn't know what to do either. But hope... Hope trusts you. You've earned its trust. And I trust you too. So here is what we're going to do. I will arm you with a weapon to kill a god. And you will go to its sanctuary. You will go to the cave of the sleeping hunger, of the dreaming hunger, she corrects herself, and you will end this. We will go to the surface, and me and my fellow shaman, we will do what we can to stop it from... Well, we think we know what it wants to do. It wants to, and it says something that doesn't really translate, but it's kind of like somewhere between packing a pipe and like, and loading a gun.
Yeah.
And we'll do our best to stop that. You can enter as a, it doesn't know you. So you can enter underneath the radar. You can enter without being seen or without being suspected if you are seen. And you can get close, and then you can do what has to be done.
How do we kill hunger, she signs.
She, like, looks confused, and then, she, like, shakes her head again and walks over to what is obviously, like, a place of worship, right? It is, like, a yeah. built altar constructed of stone. There are talismans hanging off of various different corners, lanterns shining, a light that is paltry compared to the sun that you stand next, which, by the way, has no heat to it, is perfectly cold. and she reaches down and pulls out, looks like a claw, right? This massive, long, curved thing. But it clearly has a handle that is fit for her hand size, right? Wrapped in leather, wreathed in like thick, thick hide. And it has a pommel on it as well, right? Which is amber, but which drips with light. Made real.
A weapon to kill a god.
And as you look closer, you see that the ivory of the bone has been shaven down to make this cruelly curved blade, serrated in different places. A strange and ancient weapon. And she places it on the ground, and as she picks her hand up, it shrinks down to your sides.
Well, it's certainly less conspicuous, right?
she just is wordless. Like, she doesn't know how to react to any of that at all.
Seeing it shrink down, Jabby picks it up or tries to.
Great.
And so, looks to her saying, "We enter under the radar, not suspected. You go to the surface, weapon to kill a god." And
yeah, we're waiting for a police car to pass.
They know we're gonna go kill God.
They know.
They fucking know, man.
They know.
All right,
we enter under the radar. You go to the surface. A weapon to kill a god, and I hand it to Amaruk. Hope trusts you.
As you look at this thing, you realize that it looks like it's been carved, like it's been carefully crafted by time or whatever it may be from a distance. But closer up, you realize that the core of it is made of interlocking pieces of metal, very carefully assembled, possibly put together at the molecular level. Everything fits so perfectly together. And you look a little bit closer and peel one of the leather pieces back. And the center of the blade, that metallic middle, files its way into the handle and back down to the amber base, which you start to realize looks remarkably like the egg you keep sparking in.
Oh no.
What?
Jabby, don't translate this. That looks like Spark. You remember our dear friend Spark, who lives, you know, to the right of my closet?
Oh my god.
In the incubator.
Mm. She had a brother.
Oh yeah, yep, yep. Yeah, she really did, didn't she?
She had a brother. And she, like, holds she carefully takes this blade, right? This, and she holds it reverently. I don't know what else to do.
Great.
It's a lot.
The giant looks at you right in the eyes.
Yeah.
Nods at each of you. And as she's doing that, you realize that more giants are climbing up on top of this platform, right? More of them decked out in ceremonial armors and arms. They have trinkets all over them. All of them carry lanterns, like slews of lanterns, on top of these like war banners that stretch behind them. And as you look out, you can see that people are moving across the plain, right? More of them are mobilizing, all of them arming themselves with farming equipment, with weapons fashioned from bone, with weapons fashioned from scrap metal, and the dogs, the wolf dogs, rush out of their kennels barking and roaring as the giants go to war.
Thank you so much for listening to Starfound. Once again, please leave us a like or a follow or whatever it is, and a positive review wherever you are listening. And please head over to patreon.com/starfoundpod in order to pledge to help support us and get some added benefits and a mess of extra Starfound content. And remember, you can tip in order to help or hinder the players at streamlabs.com/hearthsingergames. Thank you again for listening and for your support, and we'll be back next week. See you soon, Starfam. This podcast uses trademarks and/or copyrights owned by Paizo Incorporated, which are used under Paizo's community use policy. We are expressly prohibited from charging you to use or access this content. This podcast is not published, endorsed, or specifically approved by Paizo Incorporated. For more information about Paizo's community use policy, please visit paizo.com/community use. For more information about Paizo Incorporated and Paizo products, please visit paizo.com.
Music by Murder Sauce.